Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of. Can we hear it, guys? Can we hear it? What is this?
Pre-match Monty.
Stop it! Stop it!
That's what we're talking about. I love gents. I love gents. Yeah, I love it, Musa. I love the energy, and you've got a lot of reason to have that energy. That's what I'm saying. Wonga's got a little bit of energy, a lot of reason not to have energy. But in the house, guys. Let me just give the introductions like we normally do. Bottom right corner, my right, your left. I actually don't really know. We've got Matthew White, our English fan, and by citizenship, I suppose, as well. And also, Spousal Visa qualifies for Portugal. I see he's representing there, even though it's not one of your official affiliate teams from Goal Lounge, but cool, we'll allow it because it's my team. I'm happy.
I mean,
with
I can't
that.
Turn off who I'm supporting. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I'll follow these other chaps, but ultimately, my loyalties lie where they lie, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's fair enough. Bottom corner, we've got Moussa Sisele, the Tooth Fairy, you know, supporting the French, Le Bleu. And then we've got, in the top corner,
I think it's
we've
Le
got
Bleu.
Nicolas. Just, you know, Le Bleu, what did I say?
La, I mean, obviously, it's not important that we're completely accurate. We don't, we don't always trade in facts, but.
Keep it correct, Claude.
hashtag Le Bleu for factual non-facts. Okay, then we got Nicolas Stothart. We got he's supporting the brave men in Scotland there, amongst others. How you doing, Coach Nick? You all good?
I'm all good. I keep reiterating I am an England fan, so it is a bit of a contradiction in my home at the moment. but yeah, following Scotland tomorrow is not going to be easy.
Okay, fair enough. And then we've got right in the center there, Wonga Denga sporting a fresh new haircut, just like one of his most favorite players, Granit Xhaka. So, Wonga, how are you doing?
No, I'm also good, man. I can't complain. Yeah, I haven't caught many of the Euro games, but the game I did watch, pretty entertaining, I won't lie. It's like I decided to cross the right one at the right time.
That's good, Wonga. And also, guys, it's just welcome to Arjun. You know, he's pretty much our official six men.
Away Arjun.
Yeah, away Arjun.
What's up, Mr. Arjun?
But also, I think we should introduce Claudio, supporting the Portuguese there with Ronaldo getting your last three goals there in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, what a shit show. What an absolute shit show. Can I just tell you, if they didn't get that jammy goal, a lot of questions would have been asked. That's all I'm saying. Like, I was looking at that team and I was going, that squad that they had, what the hell was he thinking? Super cautious. That's the thing about these old men. They're super pragmatic. They need to get more like Gen Z, you know, flexible, adaptable, new technology. These oaks are still prehistoric, but he got the result. Sorry, I'm rambling. Keep going. This is what happens when you introduce me.
I was expecting you to be super happy with that squad that came out for Portugal.
Claudio, tell us how you really feel. I think
that's what you should do. Well, you know, guys. Anyway, before we get to Portugal and this guy, we might as well start where, you know, in the alphabet, Group A. And Group A, obviously, we've got Italy, we've got Wales, we've got Switzerland, and we've got Turkey. Just by show of hands, who has a team in that group? Just raise your hands.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes. Okay.
I've got Wales
there we go. So we might as well start. Moussa, you're excited. Let's talk about Wales. Let's talk about Wales and their performance so far.
Yeah, man. On my side, I've got them up on my screen at the moment because they were coming into this competition. I thought they were the dark horses. And so far into the running, I think they've pulled off some really, really good performances and some really good they're in a really good position to potentially qualify. They did get a draw 1-1 against Switzerland, which they did have to fight for, and it wasn't easy, and they managed to show some character from that. And then coming into, I think it's yesterday's game against Turkey, their combinations are really starting to show. It was so impressive to see Aaron Ramsey and Bale put it together, showing the individual brilliance and then making it work together on the day. I'm very, very excited to see what Wales have to offer. And I think they've turned to a proper, proper dark horse for me. I think they have the capacity to come out this group, given how teams like Turkey and Switzerland have fared so far. And they're playing in Italy, which has nothing more to do in the next round. So I think if they can go out there and look for a draw or look for any type of result from that game, it would really put them in good stead. given that potentially Turkey may have the opportunity to maybe shuffle up their squad or look at different options which they can try and put down before they go into the group stages, as that's already confirmed in their scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, guys, Turkey is one of my sides, and I must say, Arjun, you sold me a flipping dream that is going nowhere. It's turning quickly into a nightmare. That's all I'm saying. Turkey on nowhere, guys. What's up, dear? Dear's in the house, guys. Dear's in the house.
Hey, dear.
Hey, dear.
That's a hot for Arjun.
Arman. So is dear
what
also
class are you guys in now?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got another member of the squad just joining us.
Joining us by candle.
He fixed the wires himself, eh? He's back.
We live in a messed up country, guys. This is rubbish. This is rubbish. This is rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. Literally,
I think we have to give Arjun and Arman and Dia some context to the rubbish we're feeling out here.
No, man, this is rubbish, man. Because listen, right? I get back to my place because I wasn't at my place. And then literally, electricity came back for 2 minutes, guys. 2 minutes went on and then went off. And then luckily, my cousin doesn't live too far, and she moved in the area, so I'm at a place now. Sorry if there's a bit of an echo.
Oh, dude. Well up. Good hustle. Yeah, see, guys, these are the type of players we've recruited. They might be running late, but they show up. And it's actually good timing because we're talking Group A. Moss has just touched on Wales. I've briefly, and I think more than enough, have spoken about Turkey. I think they're done. We might as well speak about Italy.
Before you get Italy, Italy's the better team. Let me go on the Swiss here. Yeah. Also not much to say about them. Do we get a reshuffle? Do we get like more cupcakes, second round? Look, I didn't watch these guys play, but I'm just reading about it. It seemed, I mean, obviously, I did expect Wales to give them a bit of a problem. So sort of, I mean, expected that result. But when they went up against Italy, I mean, the stuff I'm reading is just these guys, the big guys in the team, obviously the ones that you'd expect to show face, were nowhere to be seen. I think, yeah, they got, from what I read, they got absolutely, steamrolled, by Italy. But I don't want to take too much away from, Cello's comments. But, obviously from Italy's side, you would expect them to have also done that, to the Swiss, not Swiss, sorry, Switzerland. You just expected that, and it happened. So good for them on their side. But Switzerland, not looking good.
You can say it again.
Hi, guys. I'll still give you enough problems. You, I can't take too many. Something. I can't hold too many things on me. But just looking at it, they have to beat Turkey. And you know, some teams when they have nothing to lose and they're like, I want to get out this tournament with a win. That's when they're probably the most dangerous. So, it will be a challenging game for them, for both teams, I think, on the day.
Yeah, man, you should have seen that game against Switzerland and Italy. Yo, Italy are showing their pedigree in the tournament. They're showing that they have what it takes to go the entire way, and they use Switzerland. They used and abused Switzerland, if I could say, because yeah, they were literally a different class and different level of team. They're so much more structured and so much more prepared for this tournament. And yeah, man, that's the only saving grace for a team like Wales at this point in time. The fact that Italy has now secured their position to qualify, potentially they could test out a few more options, rest players like Chiellini, rest other options that they have for their next group game, and that might give Wales an opportunity to even salvage a draw, which would be good enough, I think, for them to qualify. You know.
Yeah, fair enough. But now no,
I think Wales with 4 points, is not qualified, but they should be number two or the best number three if Switzerland end up pipping them to number two. But I think they should be sorted. 4 points from two games, which is very good. A very ugly kit, I might add, as Matt indicated.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, who did that? Who looked at Wales and thought, what you guys need is a bright golden green kit?
They literally look like Australia.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I honestly thought they were Australian in disguise.
No, they did. They definitely did. That's how Gareth Bale missed the penalty. Gareth Bale thought he was playing for the Wallabies, the rugby team.
Yeah, he's putting it 3 points for Wigan, man.
No, but how has he been doing? I'm impressed with his contribution to the Welsh team so far this tournament, even though he did miss that penalty. The amount of assists he's provided.
Yeah, that season-long workout Spurs gave him definitely paid off.
The man was prepping for the Euros.
Yeah. Which is obviously a penalty practice for him. Other than that, it was looking good.
Guys, it would be rude of me not to... Claudio, go back to Dia's comment, man. She says, it's so lame, I enjoy listening to people talk about a sport I have no idea about instead. Man, she's showing us love from all the way from the United States of America.
There you go, Dia.
Shout out, Dia. It's a pretty side you on, Dia.
Yeah. Penalties both things.
If you don't notice, Wonga loves drawing the line in the sand. You're either with him or you're against him. Silo, let's talk about your side that you are with, Italy. They are cruising right now, and Moss has already touched on possible tournament favorites. What are your overall thoughts about where they're at right now?
Hey man, all I can say is that Roberto Mancini has done a great job with Italy since he took over. 10 games, 10 consecutive matches they've won now with not conceding a goal, which is amazing. I think they've only conceded 2 goals in 23 games, which is amazing. And I think he's instilled a bit of his winning mentality as a ex player and where he's coached before. You know, because obviously he's done well at Man City and other clubs as well. And I think he's blended the squad nicely, man. There's a bit of the old guard, Chiellini and Bonucci. Immobile is a bit old, but and then there's the newer guard, which is Donnarumma, who's 21 years old. You know, and then there's Argentina's support, but I'm come on, that's because we should all name us.
They just
didn't want to go on there.
That name is fitting for them.
Yeah, it more or less is a correct name, but you still shouldn't support them.
Yeah, no matter how nasty they are.
You're hurting Wonga's feelings here, Arjun. Come on.
Arjun, stop it.
Okay. You're saying about Italy, yes. Yeah.
No, but I think with Italy, man, the nice thing, the thing that I see is that they know they've got a system in place, you know. I think that also they don't panic in terms of them not scoring goals early on. You know, I think the game against Turkey, they didn't score a goal until the second half. You know, they didn't panic. They kept on attacking. This game against Switzerland, they were all over Switzerland. Got a goal, but then was ruled offside. I'm not offside, sorry. It was ruled for handball. And then they still attacked and got the goal through Locatelli, who's an amazing player. He's an amazing player. I'm really loving the way he's playing. He's showing people why he's probably the next big thing in Italy, because he's only 23 years old and he's about to leave Sassuolo, which is probably like a, it's like an Arsenal in Italy.
You had to go for it.
It's funny, because Arsenal also, I read that Arsenal also trying to go for him, but then obviously there's no way you're going to sign a player like that. Juventus stepped in there and then it was game over.
Juventus are going to sign him for 40 million euros, which is quite a bargain for a player that's doing so well. And you guys need to remember as well, Marco Verratti is still on the sidelines recovering from an injury. So he still has to come into the team. So they've got quite some nice options. We haven't really seen much of Chiesa. You know, that Berardi guy on the right has been doing well with two assists. And then there's Lorenzo Insigne, the midget, the best midget in the world, the greatest midget you'll ever see in the European Championships.
He's definitely a midget, though. Matt will know in terms of height-wise. What qualifies you as a midget? Because I think you're also like on the plus play, Matt. What's going on there? I was actually checking that out. Because you're not a midget.
I was born the day after Chernobyl, which is why I'm this height. It's also why I glow in the dark, but that's another show.
But I think there was a bit of a video circulating today where they were showing two midgets playing football against each other and saying that is Jordan Shaqiri and Lorenzo Insigne playing against each other.
These guys are idiots.
Oh, man.
We do endorse short people playing football. We're not anything against that. Just got to put that out there.
You're right, saying that because I'm on the show. If I wasn't here, that line wouldn't have
gone. All right, guys. Before we move on to Group B, I do just want to say something, especially for the guys that are watching right now, because we know you guys are based in the US, Australia, et cetera, et cetera. I will be live again later this evening on StreamYard. So I don't know if you guys know StreamYard, but it's the streaming platform we use, and they're hosting us as Goal Lounge to talk about what we do there. So if you guys are awake at that time, which is 2 o'clock in the morning for us, I don't know what time it is for you guys, feel free to jump on and hit those comments as well. I might as well just put that out there because I want to see Arjun and the rest and Dia and everyone.
Why did you tell us?
2 a.m. You didn't even tell us. Jump on. Well, you guys going to jump on at 2 a.m.
Jump on because I want to watch. I actually want to watch the basketball. I actually want to watch the Brooklyn Nets versus the Milwaukee Bucks. So I might as well watch you and.
What is basketball, bro?
Nick is sounding like Dia.
I only know football.
All right, guys. Right, so we're going to talk about Group B, obviously the one that's being played. Belgium, Russia, Finland, Denmark. Gents, who's got a team in that group? Let's see who's got a team there. I've got Finland.
I've got the Russians.
You got Belgium.
Where's Belgium?
How's Belgium doing right now?
They're winning 2-1.
They got 1 minute to go. But
oh, they've got it.
But I'm going to open up with Denmark, if you guys don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Please. So I'm going to just comment quickly on this whole Eriksen situation. And obviously a very sad situation. And there was a couple of tweets that annoyed me that sort of come out recently. Sort of people pushing an anti-vaccine agenda, essentially suggesting that he possibly had his heart attack because of a vaccine, which has subsequently come out that he didn't even have the vaccine. He hasn't even had it yet. So,
wow.
And actually one of our current local coaches tweeted it immediately after it happened. And, I don't know if you guys are aware of Rulani Mokoena, coach of Sundance. He actually tweeted it, but he had put it in such a way that had suggested that he was just asking if there are, specific, side effects. And, someone, commented straight away and said, you're completely out of order. And I completely agree with that. Guys like literally fighting for his life and you questioning whether or not a vaccine is the cause of it. So firstly, I was quite annoyed about that and the subsequent anti-vaxxer, agendas put toward the situation, but that was quickly spelled out yesterday. But secondly, I was quite disappointed in the fact that they actually played the game. I personally think from just a respect sort of situation, UEFA should have, taken the bull by the horns and said, listen, this is a really serious situation. We'll come back tomorrow, or we'll come back on another day and finish the game. Because, what if he actually died in hospital and they were playing a football match?
I saw images of him regaining consciousness before he left the stadium, and I think maybe that factored into.
I agree with that. I agree that you can consult with one of your fellow teammates, and
you guys have to remember the emotions are so high. You know, this has happened. We're so patriotic. We support Denmark. We're playing at home. Oh, let's go fight for our nation. What ended up happening? They ended up losing to flipping Finland. And like, you know, the way they're playing today, you know, they lost. They more than likely will lose to Belgium if it's not done already. But they've actually created more chances than Belgium. They're a decent footballing team. And they're more than likely going to go out of this tournament because they couldn't beat Finland on a day where they flipping nearly lose one of their teammates. So I just think UEFA could have, you know, sort of dealt with the situation, not put the ball in the courts of the teams, and should have said, listen, you know, we're making a call. I mean, it happened at Spurs with Muamba. And the Premier League said the game can't continue. You know, he survived.
Just put in there just quickly. They said, I heard some, I can't remember which coach it was. I just read it quickly passing. He was asking, he thought it was stupid that they actually they postponed matches because of COVID. Someone had COVID, they postponed it for weeks and weeks. But then when someone's got a heart attack, they play the game.
I just think from the Denmark perspective, you as a teammate nearly see your mate die. You see his wife run into the field and she's absolutely devastated. How are you supposed to focus and play a football match? And try and, you know, yes, it can go one or two ways. You know, yes, the residing emotion of fighting for your team and your nation because your mate nearly died could get you over the line. But for me, I don't think you can focus. I don't think any human being can.
I want to touch on the fact that, guys, UEFA were made to look like the good guys during the European Super League. They're showing you what rubbish people they are.
True, fair enough.
Like literally that game, as you're saying, Nick, the match should have stopped, go off the pitch. People need to, you know, get their thoughts together. Hey guys, we'll come back tomorrow and play the game and start the game where it left off. And come tomorrow at least 24 hours or 18 hours, whatever it is in the afternoon, the next day, at least that would have at least given them time to rest and then just to gather their thoughts a bit. And the fact that Eriksen would have by then sent them a message to say, guys, I'm okay. I'm alive and I'm well. Then they would have felt more better.
Listen,
I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah,
I understand there's a lot of sensitivity towards, you know, the medical scenario that was happening on the field. But I see these guys as professional athletes. And sometimes if the athlete is stabilized and is conscious as he leaves the field, these players really aren't going to some players may be emotionally affected, but others might carry on with their job as professionals. And it may also be.
No, go ahead.
It may also be a scenario where you don't actually know when the feedback will come back. So from the hosting side of the actual the game, maybe we're thinking postponing it for one day is a reality. But if Eriksen doesn't come back in the next week or two, then it really does fuck up the arrangements of the entire tournament as opposed to the one game.
Then as a country, I'd forfeit. I'd literally forfeit then because I'm not in the right frame of mind to play. Then it's a matter of forfeiting because then they've gone through a traumatic experience where they've lost their teammate or their teammate is still in a coma or whatever it is that happens.
Yeah.
These people are human. We human guys. When I was a kid, I remember, I know you guys know Mikey, Michael Theodorou. Theodorou missed, his knee went like this in a match, guys. We were crying. We were distraught. We don't know what's going on. Cool, yes, we're 13 years old in this match and this knee, whatever. But it's not like he fell and, you know, he's a heart attack or anything. This is, you know, and these guys, yes, they're older. They was 20-something year olds, 30-something year olds. But guys, we're human at the end of the day. Claudia, stop laughing, man.
No, I'm laughing because I had a similar incident the same age where I actually gave the player a hospital pass and it completely like destroyed the Oak's leg. And all I thought, I was like, shame, I'm glad he's all right. But I just got the ball and carried on playing so I could score. So I'm just thinking of the different sort of reactions.
Yeah, it creates sometimes like a paradigm in the players' mindsets as well, because sometimes you are then playing for your fellow player. It's not going to be the first time that, or the last time that we see him playing faint on the field. And it won't be the first time that these players have seen injuries happen with their counterparts on the field. Some players actually use that as an advantage to say, fuck, this team, is holding us under so much pressure, for example, and they've just injured one of our best players, which sometimes is the case. They can target your best players. Then everybody kind of steps up, but it's all dependent on how certain players use those kind of instances. Yes, they do care about what's happening with the individual player and making sure that he's healthy and is well aware. But yes, they also do want to honor the fixture and make sure that they can present their best selves. Sometimes it does pump up the players to another level.
But there's also there's no certainty when the guy wakes up then. That he's okay.
Survive. Yeah.
Yeah. They used to
use a defibrillator to wake him or to like sort of bring him back from
revive death. Him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even when they wake him up there's no certainty that, okay, sharp, he's going to make it tomorrow. You know, I'm not a medic, but that's what I hear is that like someone, like even like I know for concussion as well, someone can get knocked in the head. They can wake up and then tomorrow they can go to sleep and then they'll never wake up again. They've heard of stories like that. And it's due to the concussion, you know? Yeah. So if those are the uncertainties with this thing, I can't understand why they don't have a thing like that much. I mean, I don't know why the response is not as certain as like the other guy said. I mean, as it is to COVID, as in. And this is the situation.
Yeah.
This guy could die. Let's get off. Let's focus on him. Let's get him.
Matt, you've been itching. Yeah, go ahead, Matt. I want to hear what you have to say there.
Yeah, so I think, you know, to Moses's point, I think to a certain extent, there's professionalism in relation to the accepted risks of playing football. Like, you know, there's a risk that you might get kicked so bad that your knee breaks or whatever. And you would expect the professional to see that and be able to, like, it's going to be harrowing or whatever, but you'd expect them to play on if that happens to a teammate, because they all knew when they were going out there as a footballer, you prepare yourself. You know, one of the things that might happen is that you might get an injury from being kicked.
As soon as you put on your shin guards.
Exactly. Yeah. But with this one, this is different. He wasn't tackled hard. It's not like something went wrong. The man had a heart attack on the field. That's not something that as much as we've seen it happen before, it's not something that you regularly have occur. And it's definitely not something that most players are going to be considering. Not going to be thinking, you know, I've got to make sure that I land correctly when I come down. I've got to watch out for the slide tackles. Oh, and I hope I didn't wake up today about to have a heart attack. And I think that's something, that's where this differs from that normal situation where, and FIFA should take it out of the players' hands. Because I think also we underestimate the level of psychological preparation that you have to do to play sport at that level. You know, to go out there and represent your country, as much as we'd all love to do it, we'd all do it in a heartbeat, to be able to do it well and to go out there and not just fluff your lines, there's a huge amount of psychological pressure that you put yourself under. And when you're in that state, decision-making is bound to be difficult. So you sit down a group of players and say, it looks like Eriksen's probably going to be fine. UEFA wants us to play on, or we're going to forfeit. Are we going to do it? Of course they're all going to say yes. They're hyped up. They're emotional. They've put themselves under pressure anyway. They've already kind of gone out there with this mental thing of, we're going to try win this game. Of course they're going to say yes. Zone. It's actually unreasonable to make them make that decision. Nick was right. It should have been taken out of their hands completely. And they said, we reconvene in 24 hours and make a decision at that point.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like I'm saying, I think it's cost Denmark. If Denmark had anything to do with sort of pushing towards playing that game, it's ultimately cost them. And they more than likely are going to go out of this tournament. And they probably were a favorite to go through. So they might squeeze through. I don't know.
Best number three,
because they're going to have to win.
They're going to have to win, and the goal difference is
who they're playing against.
Russia. Russia lost 3-0 to Belgium, and they won 1-0 against. Who they play yesterday?
Finland.
They won 1-0 against Finland, right? So that makes it -2 for their goal difference.
Yeah.
And then Denmark is also -2 goal difference because they've lost 1-0 and they lost 2-1 now. If they win 1-0 against Russia, they're already ahead of Russia and they have to hope that Belgium beats Finland.
But Finland going into this next game only needing a draw. If they get a draw against Belgium, which they might rotate. So it is interesting, but it's put them in a shit situation. Essentially, that's all. That's the bottom line.
No, definitely. Definitely. Just sorry, Nick, just to wrap up there. So if we're looking at there are four third spots available that can still go through to the group. As things are sitting currently, we've got Ukraine and Finland both on 3 points. We've got Sweden and Switzerland both on 1 point qualifying. Of those four, three out of those four teams have already played two games. So for Denmark to have some sort of saving grace, they would have to go out there and give at least 2-3 to a Russia and possibly. But like you said, it does put them in a more precarious sort of scenario.
Yeah, definitely.
For me, just a question. And they missed the penalty, guys. They missed the penalty. The guy who plays for some team in North London, apparently, he missed the penalty. He plays for some team that wears white. I don't know what's with the player.
Why is Schmeichel taking
penalties? Why is he letting Gareth Bale take a penalty there? Hoiberg played for the same team that Matt supports.
We didn't practice a lot of penalties this season. As you know, we weren't in a lot of knockout football this season.
there was that one final that they were in.
I remember we beat Chelsea on penalties this season. So I suppose, you know, we might be shit, but we're not the shittest, apparently.
Tell me, do you have any idea the average, what the average is normally? Of the top four, the four best third place teams. Do we know what that stat is?
This is the first time they've had this mechanism in. So we might see that things differ slightly because teams will play
second time.
Second time. They had it the last time, but now obviously they're more teams. So there's an extra side going through.
I think there was a World Cup. I think the Ladies World Cup is this format. So I'll actually do a bit of research and just see what that is as well. But yeah, I'd be interested to see if it's 3 points, if 3 points is enough and what sort of goal difference normally sticks.
Because Portugal, the last tournament, they drew all their three games and that was zero goal difference.
Oh, yeah, really? Where did they finish on that log?
They finished third. And that's how they won the Euros.
Where did they finish? Right. Sorry, where did they finish on their log of best third team?
I think third place.
I remember nothing of that. I just couldn't believe they made it through.
Because Wales also was one of them. Yes. Wales was
I'm
one
sure
of
you
them,
are shocked they when they won the thing.
Let me try find out.
When the crappiest player in the side wins the tournament for you, you just know it's one of those jammy sort of things. And just judging by the way how the game against Hungary is gone, it might be another jammy tournament in the best of ways for Portugal, which is something else. Before we move on from this group, overall thoughts, and this is, I know Sedor's team's Belgium, it's his second team here, but everyone's thoughts in Belgium and their sort of prospects going forward.
Guys, Dia is
in our Super Brew. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Shout out. Aman and Dia joined.
Oh, super brew.
I
didn't put any scores there. I literally forgot.
Oh, goodness. Wonga.
No, I mean, Belgium, I think it's obvious one. I think everyone has high hopes for them. It's just you're not hearing it as much as the English, but yeah, I think that looking at the team, they've got potential to obviously go far in the tournament. But in the end of the day, only two teams can make the final, and one can take the cup. So
you're making it sound like these plucky underdogs. They're the number one ranked side in the world. They've got like some serious talent in there. They come in with a heavy weight of expectation. You know, it's not good enough for them to make a good showing of themselves, like good pat on the back, well done, you didn't embarrass your mum. They need to go all
the
way.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no,
guys,
we can see you.
I don't know what you're asking me, Selo.
He's asking, can you see the literally his screen on here? That's what he's asking. I also was confused.
Can we see you?
Can you see the screen?
Now it's loading. Okay. Yeah, it's loading.
Loading.
Is it taking too long?
No, it's loading. You can see it.
Is it there?
Claude, did you give this guy control?
No, he's just acting unruly. He wants to be rogue.
We are off script now.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
This is Euro 2016, guys. Can you see this? So Albania, 3 points. Slovakia,
just go to the bottom. The bottom will have the
and then Northern Ireland, and then look at Portugal, 3 points, but goal difference of zero. Whereas other teams like Turkey had -2. So you see, so it can definitely get in, man. You know, I think the 4 points, 3 or 4 points is the marker. Ireland was on 4 points, Portugal on 3 points, Turkey didn't make it. Who's this?
Surprise.
Northern Ireland made it. So I think there's definitely a shot for Denmark. Let's hope Denmark makes it, guys, because I think they deserve to be in the next round with everything that happened. And thanks for coming to my TED talk.
So it seems like for that to happen, for Denmark to get through, they'll have to have 3 points and maybe a positive goal difference, and then we can really start looking at their chances as pretty strong to get through.
Guys, I love Ajud and Dia. You see, they're giving me feedback. They can see you guys are just waiting for me just to crumble.
Okay, guys, I think it's time we move on to Group C. Yeah. On that note, yeah.
It's a dangerous giving CEO the control there. Now we're going to be surfing the net with the land.
I didn't give him shit. The man was taking it. I didn't give him anything.
I'm just before he tried to sign anyone up to a pyramid scheme.
All right, guys. So, Group C, Netherlands, Austria, Ukraine, and, of course, the favorite, North Macedonia. Gentlemen, we got Netherlands topping the log. Wonga, this is your time to shine. Let's hear it.
According to me, Netherlands are behind Austria second. But, that's the one game I did catch most of when they played against Ukraine. It was. Yeah, they went wild. The first half, they absolutely dominated Ukraine. Gini Van Haldum pretty much asking Liverpool, why didn't you just want to give me more money? All over the pitch. Oh, Capitano, scored the first goal, and it was well deserved. He had many opportunities himself, but I think the Netherlands will be looking at that, going into the next game, is that they had a lot of opportunities, in the first half where they should have, put that game, they would have put their game to bed in the first half, never mind going into the second half like that. But they did well to come in the second half and score the two goals. But then come the second, after they scored the two goals, Ukraine came and quickly scored two goals from their play. And I think the second one, the funny thing, when the second one came in, even the commentators were saying, you could sense that there's a bit of uneasiness here, you know.
We'll accept you both.
Dear Ajud, we'll welcome you both. Definitely, you guys want to come. We'll welcome you both.
It might be a long trip with the talking, but we'll make it up for you when you get here.
as you were, Wonga.
Yeah, no, I'm saying. Ukraine scored their goals in the 75th and the 79th minute. Sort of similar to what Netherlands did to them. I mean, those two first goals that they scored. But before the second goal came in from, Yarmolenko's first goal was, I don't know if you guys saw it. That was real top bins. Yeah, that was top bins there.
Top
bins.
Another lefty.
Yeah, that was beautiful, that goal. But then before the second goal came in, the funny thing was the commentators even saying, like, they fouled Zinchenko, they're out the box. And the commentators was like, ooh, you can sense there's an unease here, you know, because of just what was happening in the last 5 minutes, or just after the first, they conceded the first goal. And next thing you know, as the commentators mentioning it, they go and they score that second goal. You know, but well done to Netherlands again to turn that around and get the win. I think which they deserved, but I don't think there's too many strong teams. What is their group again? Who else is there they have to worry about? Nothing much.
Austria.
They got to be careful of Austria. I don't think much about North Macedonia, but if you're going to be doing that, against Austria, they could see themselves in trouble there. So they need to, there is something they definitely need to sort out. The goals they can score, but they need to make sure that they're keeping that clean sheet.
Mm.
I think Netherlands' biggest issue, though, is the coach. That's the only concern I have. They've got decent players, but just making the right decision on the day is going to be the biggest factor there. Mosin, you want to talk about Ukraine before we move on? Is everyone happy? I don't know if Sedlo's got anything to say about North Macedonia. Austria.
Hey, man, yeah, I do actually. Listen, right? It's unfortunate that
I don't know. That's putting his hands up, guys. I think we might need some airtime here. What's going on here?
No, guys, I just want two minutes for North Macedonia. They. It's unfortunate their games are always at 3 o'clock. So I'm unable to watch those games because obviously I'm working and I'm busy. But of the highlights I've seen, the fact that they've applied themselves and they've scored two goals in this tournament, one goal in the first game and another one in this game, and they should have maybe drawn this game today. It's great to see a team that's having their first tournament appearance doing this. You know, I think it shows that their football can actually move on and grow. And I think that's probably why they had this 24 team. That's why they're having these 24 team tournaments. Previous,
yes,
Euros was Albania made it. Now it's North Macedonia. Next time we'll have Kazakhstan or someone else, you know, that usually aren't in tournaments. So I think that'll help the growth of North Macedonia. Alioski scored the goal today. Goran Pandev scored the other goal. That's the only two players I know. If someone scores next week, he needs to be signed by Spurs.
North Macedonia are a cool story. I think it's awesome to see them here doing it on the big stage. And the fact that they're not cowed, they're not playing negative defensive football. They're going out there, they're giving it a go. I think that's cool. Yeah, I've been tasked with following Austria. Obviously a country famous for being the place where they filmed most of The Sound of Music, which is obviously great for them. they also have a few other things going on. There's some football. And they've been playing all right. I think they could give the Netherlands a bit of a run. I think the Netherlands are a bit complacent. I think they've come into the tournament in bad form. And I don't think they're as strong as perhaps they were. And I think Austria could actually give them a real run for their money. So I'm looking forward to that game. I mean, now that Wijnaldum signed a contract for a club, he's no longer in the shop window. He's got to protect those knees now. So I don't think he's going to be a bit careful against Austria.
That's a fair point. Mats, I want to ask you with the Austria sort of scenario with regards to Arnautović, however you pronounce it, what exactly went on there?
So I need to read about it properly because I don't understand what I've read so far. Because so he apparently went off on a racist rant during the game. It was bad enough that his own teammate Alaba came over and grabbed hold of him and told him to stop it and shut up.
Yeah.
And then I did a bit of research, so I wasn't sure what triggered it. And apparently he was screaming stuff, anti-Albanian stuff, which is, I mean, they're not even playing Albania. The whole thing was very weird.
Yeah.
And it seems as though it's not really been come down upon. His side, the Austrian side hasn't released any statements. He doesn't seem to have had any internal punishments or whatever.
No, I think UEFA are going to ban him or something.
There was talk of it. I haven't seen it come through. Did they do it? I didn't get a chance to watch the news today.
They said one game.
But if he'd bet on the game, if he'd done illegal betting on the game, he'd be out the tournament.
That's what, yeah. No, everyone's confused about it. So they're saying that the punishment doesn't fit what happened. And that's why they also, no one saw
it was a legit thing. So, you know, it's just, it's the kind of thing we really don't need in the game at the moment. And especially these days, everything that's been going on, I think there's so much nonsense and they really need to come down harder on this stuff and stop just these slaps on the wrists, especially when the punishments are so clearly lesser than punishments for other nonsense things.
For me, Matt, it's like, you know, the thing of racism, like it can't be just against black people. Racist is racist. And for me, this thing is saying racist comments and then his teammate goes and he stops what he's saying. And it's shown there on camera. Now you're being punished for it. We know there's racist comments towards Albanians. Then you say one game. What are you saying? You're saying, no, if it's racist towards Albanians, that's okay. But if it's racist towards blacks, that's the one that, no, it just cancel the whole thing out. Cancel it out.
Yeah, it's got to be. You know, because also, if you think about it, in this same tournament, there's been a situation where Denmark would have forfeited a game and forfeited 3 points if they hadn't played on after what happened to Eriksson. But then this situation happens and Arnautović has to miss one game, whatever. And then it's all forgotten and forgiven. I just think if UEFA is serious about coming down on racism and making it a true taboo in the game, then the punishments have to be as severe as we all feel they should. And I think until they do that, people will continue to get away with it because it's just the punishment doesn't scare them.
I was reading now recently there was and I think we all know that the guys who get caught doping, they get severely punished, you know?
Yeah.
And just now Arsenal, I just read because I heard Arsenal were going after the Ajax goalkeeper and I forget his name. It's Amano Mono.
Yeah. He was banned.
He was banned for a year and they reduced it down to 9 months. Wow. I don't know the story around it, but I know like even if you didn't know that you took the substance in, you took it, you know, and you can't do anything about it. So you have to get banned and you have to face whatever is coming your way. But now in this case, Arnautovic goes out there. Yes, it's heated in the moment, but he said what he said. He's the one who's in control of what he's saying. And one match, I'm just disappointed.
Nah, it's ridiculous, guys. But you guys know this with UEFA, guys. UEFA has shown countless times that man, these guys don't really mean what they say in terms of kicking out racism in the game. We've seen what happened with that Rangers and Slavia Prague, I think it was. It's UEFA games. So I'm not surprised by the fact that Arnautovic has been basically just given one match ban. He should have been removed from the tournament.
Should have been sent home. 100%. Yeah.
Pack your bags. Go.
Yeah. No, definitely.
All right. And talking about packing bags and going home, I know it seems like Nick has done the latter.
Because you want to talk about Scotland, I bet.
I was about to say that. That's exactly where I was going.
The kitchen got too hot for the lead.
Yeah. We might as well talk about Group D, guys. Is it coming home? Is it finally coming home?
It's coming home.
See, I've been sold this before. I was 10 years old in Euro 96, and in Euro 96, it was coming home. Okay, like it was England hosted it. The song had just been written. It was coming home, and I was 10 years old. I was too young to know better, and I believed it so much. And when we went out on penalties in the semi-final against Germany, 10-year-old Matthew cried himself to sleep. It was atrocious. It was one of the most emotional moments of my childhood. So I'm not going to fall for it again. I've learned better now. But that said, I do think what's different about this England side compared to any other England side at a major tournament that I've watched is that there's a much more kind of clinical and sort of like almost boring approach to games.
Oh, man. It did. We're talking about England now, mate. Come on, now.
You said what, mate?
You ready? You got to get it later on.
I guess we don't call you Moutinho anymore.
Forget Moutinho. Yours is pretty good, man.
As you were, man.
So I think it's looking good, but for me, England's big test is going to come in the round of 16 because if we get through the group, we potentially are going to play Portugal or France. It looks like, and I reckon there's going
to
be.
It's better to finish second, actually.
I don't know. I think facing either Portugal or France is going to be tough. So. I think we'll get through the group with minimal fuss. I don't think, you know, all respect to Scotland, I think England are going to probably win that game. And what's awesome, I saw today a tweet, you know, Euro 96 Gascoigne celebration after the goal against Scotland when he dove on the floor and everybody came and sprayed water on him. If Foden scores against Scotland, he has to do that exact one. It's just going to be too perfect. You imagine the newspapers in England, they'll lose their minds.
Guys, I love the fact that England sets himself up for heartbreak so much, eh?
Yeah, we do. It's the heart that kills you. It does. And the thing is, I get guilty of it myself because I'll sit here talking to you guys and I can be very realistic. You know, like, next round, we're going to really struggle against Portugal, France. It's not going to be easy. But then as soon as I see them play, I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's happening. It's happening.
If they finish second, I don't think they meet that group. I think it's honestly, really? I looked at the draw. If they finish second, they've got an easier route to the final.
Who do they meet?
I'm not 100% certain. Yeah,
if you, so, second.
Yeah, and if you finish second, you play, I think, Group E. The second in Group E. Really? Two really? Second place teams play each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So run up or play Group E.
Because we won't even lose to Scotland by mistake. It'd be hard to lose against them on purpose.
I might have missed it.
Oh, you're going to set yourself up, man. Careful.
Listen, I'm in this boat as well. Guys, I don't think you understand how much I support England, but I just want to find out from Claudio why he changed my handle there to Germany.
Where's he switched all Teutonic going on there? What's that?
Hey?
What's that?
No, now I'm not Germany. I was Scotland, but now I'm Germany. But anyway, it's neither here nor there.
Really?
Can I just ask
Scotland
you,
and Germany.
They both lost their first games, bro.
That's fine. I was like, well, what do I do? What I did was, it was a technicality. I was like, I had Scotland, they lost. I had Germany for Nick, they also lost. But I was like, then I went world rankings. I was like, Germany above Scotland. That's how the flag, you know.
But quickly, I don't want to speak too much about England, but I don't know what you guys thought about the lineup. I was pretty disappointed, to be honest with you. And I personally would have liked, I know your thoughts, Claudio, on Walker, but I would have gone with Walker and Stones in the middle. I don't think Mings is good enough to play for England. He did all right, but I just don't think he's our solution. And to play two right backs, I understand Trippier, but I mean, why would you play Walker and Trippier? And then
he's just got a player that he trusts. Sorry.
Furthermore, and you go back to Sterling. Like, I didn't think Sterling, like, granted, he did win the game for them, but I would never have started Sterling going into that tournament after the back of the season that he's had. Yep. So I was a little bit, I questioned a few of it. I questioned Calvin Phillips. I didn't think he should have started. I thought it was quite negative, to be honest with you, going with two sixes. Although he did play pretty well. But I just would like them to see, them go a little bit more offensively because they've got so many good offensive players. Just on a side note of Scotland, guys, it's not going to be a foregone conclusion. Guys, Scotland played really well against Czech Republic. I watched the full game and they were very hard done by losing 2-0. They played really well. What are you guys laughing? You laughing at me?
I'm looking at Busa.
Because I'm heartbroken. Because Arjun mentions that Dia lives 6 minutes away from Stamford Bridge, but has never gone. I mean, like, wow, we could literally throw a stone in that direction. I'm heartbroken.
Come on, Dia.
But
come
we'll make it a plan to go in the future there, Dia.
A Golan's trip, and Dia is our tour guide.
There'll be silverware involved. Don't worry about it.
What I wanted to say in terms of what Nick has just said, I think it's very important. I think it goes back to having a manager that is scared of making certain decisions, right? For instance, the Sterling one is very questionable, and the fact that he started two right backs, the fact that Shaw is available and Chilwell is available.
Chilwell didn't even make the squad, mate.
Exactly. Chilwell and Sancho didn't even make the squad. Yeah. So Sterling had such a poor season, and then you're going to start Sterling where you've got Sancho, you've got Rashford and Grealish, who've had better seasons than Sterling, who should have started ahead of him. But then he decides that. But luckily they did win, because I think if they lost.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I think also we've got to bear in mind, I think Southgate has a plan in mind. I think he played that game to win that game. I don't think he's thinking about, I don't think he's going to choose the same 11 every game at all. I don't think we'll see, Walker and Trippier in the same lineup again. I think he was aware that in our group, Croatia were going to offer the most going forward of all the three teams we're going to play in the group stages. And I think he wanted the ones that were more solid at the back. And in that case, you know, you're looking at Walker and Trippier. They're going to be more solid at the back. I think also with the omission of like Grealish and them, I think they're going to get a run out in other games. They're going to he's going to have different combinations going on. I think the big mistake that England are still making is that they haven't changed Kane's role from the one he's been playing the whole season at Spurs. You see Kane constantly dropping deep and looking for the ball. And in England, he doesn't need to do that. You know, he has to do that at Spurs because there's not, during the course of this season, there's not been huge quality behind him. But in an England shirt, he needs to just hang about, stay up at the front. His most potent weapon for the England side is his finishing. And he's got the likes of Foden and them running around behind him. He should let them do the creating. Can you imagine when you've got someone like Grealish on and then Kane can just stay at the front and put away what gets created? So I think that's something that needs to change for England if they are going to, if they are going to go further than the round, the second round, which I'm still not 100% sure of. So I think it's going to be a really interesting to see how Southgate utilizes the squad. I think he knows more about those players than we do. He's, you know, he spent time with them. He watches them, probably knows a bit more about football than all of us. I'm assuming.
Not
never
true,
met him.
Not true.
We can get him on the show and ask. But
I agree with you with that Kane sort of role. If you look at where all the forward players, so the attackers, call them attackers for England, in their teams, they all play in a front three. And they play in a very, it's quite a devastating front three. If you look
Nick, I will let you finish that point. But guys, we've got our first official goal line sponsor, Dia, coming in here saying, yes, she can take us around England and we'll travel around in England with her dad's plane over the next, over 2 weeks. I mean, thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, It's coming home.
Hey, Mustard, take it easy, man.
You're going to get us all thrown off before it's even started.
Nothing to see.
Selo, guys, Selo's got a new client there. You need to be talking to Dia's parents. I don't know what's going on here. Selo, let's come on, financial advisor. Let's do our thing. As you were, Nick, sorry, keep going.
No, so I think if you look at all the forward players or attackers for England, they're all playing quite a fluid front three for their teams at home. So I would think it would be advisable to sort of play in a very, very similar system or try and incorporate all those systems within one, where they, you sort of give those front threes freedom to get the ball forward as quickly as possible. And literally get the ball out wide and give it to Kane in the middle. Like that's, they've been playing off Kane, Son and, Bale and the likes of who else was in your front three. You've had quite a few. I think in that sense, I think that's how you're going to get the best out of him. And like you said, let the rest do their work, you know, running around behind him, creating and just giving him the ball to finish. I think tomorrow, guys, is going to be a very good game because I don't think it's all about football. I think it's a little bit more than that. And then Matt can attest to it. I think it's going to be, going to be a very emotional. Yeah, it's going to be a very emotional occasion.
Dia, to Dia, he doesn't know what that means, but it's coming home. It means heartbreak for English fans, to be honest. Because it's like, we'd be talking a very different story if England didn't have their goal on the day and didn't get the 3 points. Because the criticisms are fair. There are a lot of dubious kind of decisions which are made about that squad. And sometimes you could see it that Croatia did have opportunities where they could also threaten England. Even though they don't have the strongest squad in this tournament, they could still pull something together. And I'm worried that, you know, England is pumping itself up to believe it's coming home, but they haven't resolved a lot of combinational type of play within their front six and their team going forward, which is it's going to be something that hurts them. They're going to come into the next round, into the finals, and face teams of the caliber of a France, of a Germany, a Netherlands, and Italy. And there they'll be left wanting. Those combinations will need to be sorted out earlier rather than later.
I love that statement, Mossa. I love that you're worried about us. Worried about us building up this thing in our head. You're worried what it's going to do to us emotionally. Like, I appreciate it. And I wish there was a cure. I wish it, cause like I said, I'm going to be completely rational before the game. But then as soon as the whistle blows, I'm there. And I'm like, it's happening. It's coming home. I can't. No.
I think they've done everything in their power to make it happen for England. I mean, everything, most they get, I think they'll only play one game away from Wembley if everything goes according to plan. It's just one of those things where they've I actually think they're doing it on purpose to ramp you up even higher as every second goes by. They're like, yeah, let's go. We're at Wembley. We're doing the things. And also just to touch on the game, I think Yeah, I mean, I raised eyebrows definitely. And like you said, Matt, it was all about getting the result. That was the significant part. I think the pressure then also, it was just easing the pressure off for Gareth Southgate. Maybe now he can gain more confidence with every passing game. But yeah, I think he's got a big headache himself because he's going to start questioning himself at some point and possibly land up missing another penalty like he did, I think, in 96, which knocked them out. I think he was the one responsible for that.
So, look, he's not the only English player who's missed a penalty that's got us knocked out of a tournament, let's be honest, long time.
But in the Euros 96 in particular, he was the
It was one, his so. That missed it. It was his that missed it. There was a, yeah. And that's why it was such a big deal when he was the manager in, when we won the shootout in, against Colombia in Russia. He was the first, that was the first time we'd won a penalty shootout since 96 in a tournament. Yeah. And that was huge. And the fact, and he spoke about it at length, his experience of having lost on a shootout and missed one himself. It's a big focus of their preparation and how they do it and how they get ready for games. So I think the mentality side and the way he approaches management is very different to the England managers we've had in the past. You know, you look at Terry Venables and Glenn Hoddle and that, they were different. Kind of what you'd call proper football men. And he's a bit more intellectual. He's a bit more cerebral, a bit different. He sees the role of the manager as being different. He's not just there going to shout at players. He's there to kind of help them grow as men as well. And I think that's, it's in a way, I think he's a kind of England manager that I can be more kind of impressed with and, happy to have representing us than we've had in the past, which is cool. That doesn't mean I think we're going to win the tournament. Like I said, I think the second round is going to be a huge test. If we come through, if we end up winning our group and then beating France or something, you're not going to hear the end of it from me. I'm going to be,
I just want to say
like Mossa was in that little gap between when Chelsea started playing well and then lost the FA Cup. I'm going to be that, like,
you'll be amped, boy.
I'm just going to be like that.
Guys, I just want to say this. I want to say everything Matt has said now defending Gareth Southgate, I do think he's going to be doing a lot more backpedaling, but he probably needs to do a little bit more backpedaling for Arjun, like he's trying to get onto Diaz playing with the rest of us. Yeah, I think he's got the backpedaling that's coming out from there now. But guys, Group D, it's actually a group where Wonga's team is on top of the log. I mean, he's actually got two teams. He was saying
group
this thing.
E. Wait, Group E. E. Group E, hey, please. Hey.
Group E. Thank you. I mean, what? Oh, yeah, please. You know what? You need to take over, Settle. Next time, he's manning the station, guys.
Hey, man. When I'm back in my own place again, when I've got lights, then I can take over anything.
Gold digger. Anyway, Group E. We've got Slovakia number one. We've got Spain number two. Sweden number three. And Poland. I didn't expect Poland to be at the bottom, but they're at the bottom. So,
how come you gave me Spain this year? Like, of all of the tournaments, I get Spain now. I get this Spain. I get the Tottenham version of Spain. It's just not fair.
This is literally it. This is literally the Tottenham version of Spain.
They didn't take all their players. They were like, no, we only need 24, whatever. Then they get COVID like 2 days before the tournament. I just, you know, anyway.
It's tough times.
They drew with Sweden. Sweden is the oldest squad at the Euros. And they're that old, even without Ibrahimovic. And they still, Spain still couldn't beat them.
And they had 14% possession. 14-1-4. Yeah.
Just
hectic.
Sickening.
They literally said, have the ball. We'll defend our goal.
Hey,
we're going to hit the whole day, literally.
It looks like Gattuso is going to be your next coach, eh? Gattuso. It's going to be Matt's next coach.
Let's see. It'll fall down tomorrow. Gattuso also, he just left the job. He was in the job for like 9 days or something. Was it 28 days?
There's Italian connections going on here. They just want Italian.
Because the new director of football at Spurs, Paratici or whatever. He's from, apparently he doesn't yet speak English, so he's only talking to Italian options. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it on the first day, whoever's sitting in that seat. I heard talk that already Tim Sherwood's been cleaning off the old gillet, you know, like just getting ready just in case. So
he's been waiting.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'm just I'm not going to follow that news. I'm following the Euros. Tottenham don't exist to me for a couple of days.
Sorry, guys.
You can have a dream team of Sherwood, Mason, and Ledley King.
Without Sherwood, there is a dream team.
The triple.
The triple. The three wise men, like Sundown.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure Claudio wants us to talk about the Euros, guys. He convened us here. That was on the agenda.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here, guys.
Forget Tottenham for now.
We're saying Spain is the Tottenham version.
I've been practicing because I've got Spain. I've been practicing doing the lift thing, España. They played Sweden, but I don't think I'm going to get much chance to use it because I don't see them going very far.
Yeah, they're not impressive at all, if you ask me. Like they have. It's good to see young talent like Pedri and the likes coming into the picture, but really,
it's so unfair to do it to them like that, though. To do it without the old heads that they can learn from, just throw them to the wolves and let them lose. They're not going to grow from that.
They need a striker, guys. Because if you look at it, like someone was saying that which country went through this, man? Someone was referring to another country that went through the same thing where you need a goal scorer, a number nine, that is lethal in front of goal. Because Morata had a great chance to score, and he put it wide, you know. And then they had some other chances where the keeper saved, but Morata's one, he didn't even hit the target. And I think that was the chance they could have had to win the game. But yeah, I think
ironic for Marcelo is they won the 2012 Euros just like that without a striker. They never had a
false nine. With the false nine, with Fabregas as false nine. But you knew,
but
they
had
Fabregas.
Yeah, yeah.
Too much quality.
Xavi Iniesta, Xabi Alonso.
Fabregas
was there. And who was the wingers? The wingers was like David Silva. You know what I mean? So yeah, so I think it's a tricky one, you know. I don't see them. I see them getting out of this group, but I don't see them going to semis.
Semis is way too far.
I wanted to check because I'm still, obviously, I don't normally follow Spain. I'm just doing this for goal line, so I don't speak Spanish. But does Morata mean Werner in Spanish?
The way he's missing opportunities, I'd say yes. I speak German very well, and Werner means miss. So Morata also means miss, Chip. I agree. And it's tough because, you know, he's not going to have plenty opportunities in the Euros to keep proving his quality. I've seen him a couple of times, under-21s, under-23s, you know, top goal scoring in his tournaments, respectively, for the Euros at those age groups. But this is a completely different type of kettle to work with, and he's missing really hard. I see Nico's comment there. The water boy position. I saw something on Instagram the other day where they had Morata on the water bottle and they were trying to pour the water bottle into a cup and they kept missing the cup intentionally because it was Morata. So if he was a water boy, people won't get any water. Unfortunately.
No, I still can't believe the career that Morata's had. But Wonga, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I think, I was going to talk about my team, but I mean, in line with what Claudio is saying as well, I think if you look at Morata's career and he's been playing for big teams the whole time, but I think even in that, if you look, his goal return, it doesn't, I don't know, I mean, it's not great at all. I mean, now he's played 32 games, but like again, they've got Ronaldo up there. He's played 32 games and he's only scored 11.
11 goals, yeah.
Other season, Atletico, 34 games, he scored 12. 15, 6, 26, 15 was the highest return he had. Then it goes to 34, 7, 8. Like it's, he hasn't really
pretty
been.
Low.
Yeah, he's not, you'd say a lethal striker. I mean, you had what Spain had before. I mean, they had, was it David Villa? I don't know who else had before that, but I mean, yes, those, Fernando Torres.
Raul. Fernando Moriente, they had a lot of number nines.
Yeah, look, I mean, no disrespect to Morata. I mean, he's played for the best teams, but I don't personally think he's enough. Let's say he's not enough.
But he's never stayed. He's never stayed at a team for too long as well. That shows you he's not great. You know,
yeah.
If he's a good striker, teams will let him go.
essentially, Wonga, what you're saying, as South African football fans call them, Morata is a cow.
Yes. Yes.
He's a cow. That's what he is.
Yes, a cow. He's the biggest cow.
I love watching the comments there on Kickoff and Soccer La Duma. They're like, oh, that one is a cow. He's just a cow.
But even like...
With hey, that, South African fans are straight, eh?
To have Morata there, wouldn't it be like to have Moreno, who's had a very good season this season? He's, I think, banged in 34 goals in all competitions.
33 goals, yeah.
Yeah, and it's more than enough for him to, you know, stake a claim for a starting position. For him not to get involved, I don't know what the heck is cracking now with the manager and how he's looking at sorting out the team. It's quite, I think Spain are going to struggle this tournament given those kind
that's
of difficulties.
23 goals with Musa. 23 goals in 33.
What's going on with the admin here? The admin is crushing on
guys. What's going on, guys? Is it Messi or Claudio? What's going on?
Is it me or Ronaldo? I'm not sure.
That's good.
I'm not happening here, guys. Guys, I think we should leave. I think we should leave the admin and put it to
double it. I think we
to
can
get
double
a room,
date.
To get a room.
Me, admin, and Bia and Ausman, we can double date here, guys. I don't know
what's going on. But looking at Slovakia, that's my team in the group. I think, just quickly on them, I think they've done enough. Maybe Poland did have a bit of a howler there with Szczesny, probably scoring unfortunate goal, ball bouncing off his back into the goals. I didn't watch the game, but that's what I read.
Can I tell you what the difference is there for Slovakia? You've got Martin Dubravka in goals. Dubravka. he's the difference.
I think they've done enough. I think they've, looking at this team, let's say they put a good step forward. They're the only team to get 3 points, in the first game. Everyone else is on 1-1-0. So they have a good chance now of making it through to the next round. I think that's what they're going to be trying to do. They just probably need another 2 points and they're good to go.
I think PSU Econers fell onto the wrong group chat.
I don't think so. I think he's actually asking. I think he's asking Matt for his opinion there. He wants to know what the second equation for string theory and prime math work out is.
Go for it, Matt. You've got it, Matt.
Me.
Yeah. Throw that English accent out there. Sound like all the English people in London, isn't it?
No, you've got the wrong way. My brother's the mathematician. My skills lie elsewhere.
Drinking beer. Is that where your skills lie?
Exactly. No. it's not something I'm gonna know.
Yeah,
the next. Yeah. I definitely agree.
It sounds familiar. Yes, it's probably that one.
Yeah. Followed by a wire. It's about that time, the group of death time. Group of F rhymes with death. But let's talk about this one. We know terrible result for Germany. Obviously, Hungary, the only stadium in throughout the tournament being full host, full capacity.
I think Copenhagen today had a full stadium, by the way.
Was it?
Was it full?
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it was full. Yeah.
Do you guys see the meme with Rashford when they said, when Rashford heard they're going to be angry fans. They seem like packed with food packets. And
I agree with that. Yes, I'm not sure it rhymes.
Group F? Death.
Because
F.
Deaf,
like, I feel like a rapper can get away with it.
So, like, if you're deaf, you wouldn't know that those words don't rhyme.
Guys, I'm going to jump straight in here for Germany. Yeah. Guys, I'm going to jump straight in here. And I have to give credit to France. I think France are an incredible team, but I don't know. Did you guys actually watch a game? I don't know who did. But
I think that from
a tactical point of view, Musa, did you notice how France, they played with that diamond in the midfield? They had no natural wingers and they sat in so well to absorb as much pressure as they can. And they just literally unleashed Mbappe. Like
it's crazy.
There was one time when Matt Hummels literally got a toe, but like just got a toe. Mbappe looked like he had, like he was like Sonic. Like
Afterburners boy.
Bro, it looked like that. I was like, what am I watching? I had to even rewind it.
You know what's crazy for me?
He had a head start even.
Even seeing how Kante and Pogba's roles changed in the friendly before the tournament, and then they came into the tournament, and the boys are doing this now. Yo, that team is just another level.
They are very strong, but I do want to say, like, guys, Germany actually played pretty well. They created some good chances. I think they were just tactically probably outwitted in terms of how France set up. You know, I would have thought with the ball players that France had that they would have maybe dominated a bit more possession than they did. I think Germany created more chances and they had more of the ball, but literally they had a game plan to absorb their pressure, stay tactically and defensively disciplined, and to literally unleash those animals up front when they could. So I just thought it was a good football match to watch from a neutral. To actually see like two different styles going pound for pound, and then one that's a little bit like probably more pragmatic ended up winning with that sort of finesse at the end. And to be fair, they probably should have scored with Benzema at the end. It was disallowed. I think Germany still have a great chance of getting out the group, and I think they will beat teams given they go through, I think.
I think, expand what Nick is saying. Expand what Nick is saying is, so Germany had 10 goal attempts. France had 4. They both had 1 goal on target. Obviously, France's one went in. And Germany had 59% ball possession. They had more passes, 725 compared to France's 438. So, it probably looked like a game plan that went France's way from what you can picture.
For me, like, looking at that French team, it looks like they've got it all figured out. All facets of the game, they've kind of solidified and sorted out. The player that stood out for me on that evening was a player like Pogba, who was that kind of guy who could soak up that pressure, take it on literally on his shoulders, and then release players like Mbappe and Griezmann to go find combinations up there in the front. And it worked to a T. You saw that team just looking the role to actually say, okay, if they do find a team that's better than them on the ball all the time, they can soak up that pressure and consume the other team's energy and then find pockets to actually go out and look for it for opportunities. And they did that exceptionally well on the day, I think. I think they're showing that they're ready for this tournament, and they'll continue to have that tournament mentality correct throughout this tournament. It's a great opportunity for them to have faced a brilliant team like Germany as well in the beginning, because that's going to be as tough as the test gets, you know. It's going to be a very good opponents who can hold the ball, who can look to be technically gifted on the ball as well and look to threaten you at every occasion. But to soak it up and be able to express yourself is something that I think France did very, very well on the day. Yeah. And I think they're going to continue doing that as you continue.
What's going to be interesting, you know, playing against the Portugal, I don't know, are they playing them next? It will be very interesting to see. It will be interesting to see who's playing Portugal? Germany. France play Portugal, it's going to be interesting to see if they incorporate that same style, because I expect them to go take the game to Hungary. I think you might even see them introduce natural width, probably a couple of wide players in the field to sort of really go out and dominate the game. But to go against a Portugal where they also probably look to consolidate by holding as much possession as possible, will they incorporate it? And you know, maybe the tactic was only against Germany because they've got slow defenders. It would be interesting if they've got a couple of sort of strategies up their sleeve that they might use, changing depending on the opposition, because they're that good. They can turn it on in a different way, in a different style against any team they want to.
It's crazy because they do literally have those options. Like in the last game, they put Giroud on after Benzema had a niggle. Giroud came on and did the job. They were now dishing the ball out wide and looking for crosses. And they literally have all these levers to pull as a team. And that's the most exciting thing, I think, coming into a tournament, where they can pull these levers and the boys perform at their highest levels and then look for another option. And there's still performance, which is it's exceptional from my side.
I think the one thing they just need to they're still figuring out as a team is the whole new dynamic with Benzema. So because what does tend to happen a little bit is the fact that Benzema and Griezmann like to operate in the similar areas. So what happens is that Benzema is similar to Kane, where he comes a little bit deeper. But when you come up a little bit deeper, you're going into Griezmann's space. Then what happens then is that Papa will have the ball, can obviously go stretch the defense. Then you find that Benzema and Griezmann are not up to where Mbappe is, but I think, you know, these are great footballers, and they'll figure these things out, obviously, with play, more, the more they play with each other, because I think it's only the third game that Benzema's back now. But as they play, they're just going to get better with the tournament. You know, they're going to get better and better and better. You saw with the disallowed goal, for offside, the one that Benzema scored, literally they went Griezmann went deep, and then Pogba went beyond Griezmann and then he passed it to Mbappe, then Mbappe passed it to Benzema. So I think over time they're going to work it out and see how it's best to best work it out. But I think especially like a player like Pogba and Rabiot, they've got the freedom to go forward because they've got a player like Kante who's sitting back, which is great. And I think, yeah, we're going to see some great things from France.
Yeah. Mm. Question, guys. If France go all the way and win this thing, does Kante then get a shot for the Ballon d'Or?
Yes,
most definitely. Yeah,
look, if Modric won it, then surely.
No, but it depends on his performance in the tournament. What if there's?
Yeah, but if France go all the way, he's going to have another tournament. I mean, look.
No,
at
but what if?
Exactly.
But what if?
He's
what if
suddenly what turn if, off? If, look at the season he's had.
But what if Mbappe is the best player?
Even if Mbappe is their best player or Pogba is their best player, I think Kante has done well in the European club setting to have pushed his name onto the roster. And
also, let me jump in there quickly. I think we're saying if Kante was a Man United player, I think Seller would have just agreed and we wouldn't.
No, it's not about that. No, but you know, I had a discussion about the whole Kante thing. I think people are getting ahead of themselves because you guys need to remember, right, is that Kante only started playing well when Thomas Tuchel took over. Before that, he wasn't at the level. But the level that he was playing at Thomas Tuchel was not the same level that he was playing for Frank Lampard. Who won player of the season for Chelsea? Mason Mount, because Mason Mount was consistently good across both managers. The person who was consistent across both measures was Mason Mount.
Whereas but I didn't want to say this.
Guys. Do you realize what Cello just said? Joking. Cello just said if England win the Euros, Mason Mount gets Ballon d'Or.
No, he doesn't.
He said it.
But Kante was the best player and when Tuchel came. Like he's by far the best player when Tuchel came. But Mount was consistently the best player across both managers.
Yeah.
I think you just don't like
you
it.
Because
Mini Cooper.
I think you guys actually have to, as Man United fans, you really have to sit down and figure out what your grief is about Pogba, man. Pogba does the job all the time for his national team. And you guys still have some issues and gripes when he goes back to Manchester, which I don't think he deserves as a player, man.
But who's got gripes? I don't have gripes. You know,
A lot of Man United fans don't see Man United being the best fit for Pogba.
But you know the problem with Man United fans?
English
is
media.
Man United fans, English media, these people don't know football. Pogba does the same things for Man United, plays well, but the quality of players that he plays around, that he plays with at, listen guys, someone was saying, you know, I don't
Ole,
know. So,
Ole doesn't know football. Ole doesn't know football.
No,
Ole.
Listen. You must listen to me, guys. The biggest tragedy in football in the Premier League history was making Steven Gerrard play with John Joe Shelvey and Jay Spearing. They say the second biggest one is playing Pogba with McFred. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that is the problem, guys. That is the problem.
When you do that, it makes complete sense. That's end of argument. I agree with that. You're speaking my language now, Celo. Now you're talking.
Tell us about Portugal.
Portugal.
Yes.
Before we talk about
they say you have Steve Bruce, champ.
Steve Bruce, but let me remind you, Arjun, he was made in Man United. Made in Man United. He was your player. Yeah.
The nose, so, everything. Made there.
Yeah. Made there.
Yo, guys, before we talk about the Portuguese-Hungary game, I do want to say, I think for Germany losing that opening game against France, it is a good game to be losing when you're playing a side like France. And you'll find if they do meet at some point, Germany will probably learn from that game. And it's sort of a good intensity to come into a tournament. That's kind of what I'm getting out of this. Portugal scenario, I'm slightly concerned because we do play against the Hungary. And like I said at the start of the show, the coach is smoking or was smoking his socks. You're playing against a Hungary side who are going to play deep, and you've got two holding midfielders in the likes of Danilo and Carvalho. Why you got to play both of them? I don't understand. You've got players that aren't naturally wide players in the form of Jota. You can argue, okay, was playing wide, but he was coming in a lot, and Bernardo Silva. And all of a sudden we've got Ronaldo, and Ronaldo having to come deep and go wide to look for the ball. When you're playing against a side who's sitting so deep, I cannot understand it. Get the ball wide. As soon as he made the changes, he brought on Renato Sanchez. Guys, I'm just super happy for that guy. How he's managing to turn his career at Lille, and he's looking good. He came on a player in the midfield. You can't have two players just passing side to side, side to side. And I know a lot of that from Henderson, watching him week in, week out. And it actually felt like I was watching a Liverpool game this season. That's kind of what it felt like. I was like, oh, shit, not again. Here we go. And then, Renato Sanchez comes on. The boy's running at players, and all of a sudden things start opening up. We're going down through the middle. But in the end, I suppose I sound like I'm complaining a lot for a team that won 3-0. Ronaldo now becoming all-time top goal scorer of the Euro, sitting on 11 goals from 22 games. So not too bad. But like I said, I am slightly worried that the next game is Germany, largely because when we're looking at history, those two tend to have a bit of a 50-50 sort of chance. But as long as Portugal might go in there guarded, the coach is going to do the same thing. He's pragmatic. You know, Matt puts a lot of glory behind Southgate's name for taking the pragmatic approach. And our Portuguese coach, you know, does exactly the same thing. So he'll probably start again, two pivots there in the midfield, and try and keep – he'll be happy with a point. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. And then the next game comes against France.
Won't it be a good outcome to have those two pivots in a game against France or Germany? Because you're going to have to soak up a lot more than you'd have to soak up against a Hungary team.
Definitely. I think you're right, though, because I think if they would learn anything from that France-Germany game, is it can work. Because France absorbed and unleashed. And when you have Ronaldo running, you know, it could work. It could work because if you carbon copy what France did, Portugal do have the quality to hurt a team if you let them have the ball. It's sort of just give them the ball, say, come, try break us down, and let's see if we can hit you on the counter. I don't know. What do you think, Claudio?
Look, I think in terms of the setup, I think 100% when you're playing against the bigger sides like a France, and I say bigger sides in terms of France, Germany, Portugal had all the possession against Hungary. That was always going to be given. Yeah. Against the other sides, them sitting deeper, then two pivots make sense. And Ronaldo waiting on the counter, Jota on the counter, Bernardo Silva industry putting a lot of pressure up front. Then it makes sense to me. It's going to be super, super interesting. One thing I'm 100% fearful of is the fact that Cancelo was out because he got COVID. And you guys know my thoughts. You know my thoughts on Semedo. He's not of the standard. He's garbage, in my opinion.
Just say exactly what you feel. Just tell
he's garbage.
he's shit. He's a donkey.
He's not great. Defensively, he's horrendous. And all I kept seeing was Mbappe one-on-one with this guy, game over every single time. It's not even a question. It's not even like so I am hugely fearful from that. So it's probably going to be a double up on the right-hand side where you've got Bernardo Silva sitting tight next to him. So it's going to restrict us going forward. But, you know, when you got Ronaldo, let's see what happens. Man's pushing. I don't know if he's going to try and squeeze another tournament out after this, but, you know, this potentially his last one. It should be his last one anyway on paper. So let's see what happens. Mosa, you wanted to say something?
No, man, looking at that Portugal squad, yes, it wasn't the most impressive outcome. Well, the outcome was great against Portugal, but yes, maybe the way they set up wasn't as aggressive as you would have liked. But looking at the way they did set up and then the substitutions they did make during that game, I think you guys have a very, very strong chance. That squad looks very competitive compared to a Germany squad who yes, they're big names in Europe, but they are some of them still untested. I could point specifically at Kai Havertz, at Gnabry, at Werner. Those are players that you know they have the potential, but they haven't really come to a Euro tournament and put it together. Whereas some of the players in the Portuguese squad have been here doing that, won the Euro, and they've got now support with energy with players like Renato Sanches that could come into the fray and give them energy whenever they need. And potentially that could be something that makes Portugal output Germany if you ask me, given that, you know, they have one game added against the two and then figure it out from there. I think this group is going to be literally a group of death where it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough. Even if you get your 3 points, you might be getting 3 points with the 2-0 or -2 goal deficit. And that's quite tricky for any of the teams coming into it.
No, but Matt, you can wait. So go ahead. So after you share your thoughts, Matt can go ahead, seeing he is somewhat of a spousal citizen. And then we've got Wonga Dinga can also weigh in terms of what he thinks, how it's going to play out.
No, I was saying, man, I think on the strength of the three teams, you know, your France, your Germany, and your Portugal. Portugal, for me, arguably have the second best team after France. You know, I think Germany a bit more in a what's this? Jota is the bottom tier.
Jota's family clearly moved over to the US. American green.
Not much different here. Not much different.
But I thought Dia lives in London.
She's from London. She's from London, but studying in the US. At Stanford. Do you remember? Yeah, you even said you've been to Stanford. But what I was saying, with the quality that they have, I think Portugal has more quality than Germany right now. In terms of even the goal scorers, if you look at Germany's players. There's some very good players in the German team, but they don't have that striker that can, you know, score the goals like Ronaldo or Jota. Jota has been on form for Portugal this past season, you know. Whereas Germany's got a Timo Werner that couldn't even start the game, who's, you know, a cow, as we call it in South Africa. You know, and then they're playing Joshua Kimmich out of position. He can play right wing back, but the midfield was missing that general, which is Kimmich in the midfield. So if they can go back to a back four, play Kimmich, Gundogan and Kroos together, I think they will do much better in the game against Portugal. But that back three thing, it's not working for me. But Jake, come on, bro. I've got a great memory for you.
Especially for potential clients.
I think Claudio, your double date. Your double date needs to be with the admin, Cello and Dia.
You should make some rip and Cello there, boy.
But thank you. My boys disappointed me there. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. The next game, I can't wait for it. It's on Sunday, right? I think
Saturday.
Even better. Saturday, have some beers, Devil's Peak, watch the game. Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so I've been tasked also to follow Hungary, which was interesting. They're not going to be around for very long. They are in the group of death. They are the ones who are going to die.
The lads are gone.
It's great to see a full stadium. I'm not sure about the science behind it. I feel like those are just massive super spreader events, but there you go. It's going to be, they're not going to have a long tournament, but I think what Portugal showed was, because it was clear that that Hungary held fast. They went there just to try and hold on to something and try to snatch something from a set piece. They had one or two chances from free kicks and stuff where they came close with headers. Not close as in they really tested the keeper, but you could see that was their game plan. And I think that's probably what they're going to do for the duration of the tournament, is they're going to try hold out tight and then snatch something on a set piece from, from France or Germany.
sorry, Matt. I was trying to be here, boy.
I don't know anything. Eh? I don't know what you're talking about.
Arjun is also asking.
I was just asking what things.
Guys. And here, guys, come on. Don't be better.
I think Portugal did well to soak up the pressure and keep to the game plan, even though, you know, they were clearly banging against a brick wall. And like you said, the substitutions made all the difference. And also, you can never write off Ronaldo. The class is always there. He only needs half a chance. So that's going to be that's Portugal's trump card. Portugal have every chance of going all the way just because of that. Cause they've still got a solid defense. They've got some amazing players across the field. Even if you took Ronaldo out, that's still a solid side. And then on top of that, they've got him. So I think they're gonna push all the way. I think the game with France is gonna be a big test. It'll be really interesting to see how that goes off. I think they have to beat Germany. I think to put their stamp on things and really lay down a gauntlet on the tournament, they've got to beat Germany. This isn't vintage Germany. This isn't a German side that we're all expecting to go all the way. So I think Portugal have to beat them. I think if they don't win that game, then there'll be some serious questions, some serious potential difficulty going forward. But we saw Portugal overcome that last time when they won the Euros. They didn't win their group. They were shaky. They hadn't won a game over 90 minutes until the semi-final when they won it before. So they've already done better than that now. So I think they can – let's see how it goes. I think Portugal are going to go far.
Wonga denga. Denga
nera. No, man, I don't have much to say about the group, but I think honestly probably you might get all three of them qualifying in the end of it, since you have that for the next round, since you have that the third placed teams. But at the moment, Germany are sitting fifth, and they don't go through. That's at the moment. But I think I agree with Nick. Germany, they do still have potential to disrupt the other teams in the group. I think Hungary, that'll be free. 3 points there, but the rest will have to. The one against Portugal is the one they'll have to fight for. But like I said, if they can win that, then they do have a shot for that top three. If they draw it, sorry, or win it, they do have a shot for the top three, or even first or second. Yeah,
that's funny. I suppose if we did trade Celo, at least it'd be easy to replace. Because there's so many United fans
all
around.
Groups. Sorry, I didn't hear anything there. I broke up on that side.
What happened there?
But I didn't hear anything. No, I was just finishing up what I said about.
I didn't hear anything either. I thought Matt was saying. Okay.
About Germany.
All right, guys. Okay. Yes, what a moment on the show. Highlight. That was the highlight section on the show. Good job.
Look at Arjun.
The man can follow you after June, not before. Make sure you're on the flight, sir.
Oh, man, he's killing me.
All right, James, that pretty much wraps up the show for this evening. Final thoughts from everyone before we go.
Just for tonight's game, go Austria. Hey,
bro.
You
guys
tidy it up.
So tomorrow,
I'm still worried about Arsenal, to be honest with you guys.
Tomorrow,
but tomorrow, that's been a story for the past 10 years, Jim.
Guys, I've got a surprise outfit for you guys tomorrow, so I'll send it on the Discord channel.
Are you gonna wear a kilt?
We'll talk about it. It's gonna be.
That'd be beautiful.
No. It's going to be a bit of a mix and match. So I think from both sets of fans, if they had to see it, they'd probably want to spit at me. But I'll make my parents happy at least.
Living in the middle of a civil war must be rough, man.
Can't wait. Do it for the folks, boy.
Do it for the folks.
Ah, good stuff.
Right, gents, if you want to see that picture, Matt's going to send. Nick's going to send. I did it again. No. Matt and Nick. I don't know what it is. Anyway, if you want to see that picture that Nick is going to, join the Discord. Thank you, Celo. Join the Discord channel, please. Feel free. And then, guys, like I said, I'm still going to be doing another show later at 2 PM our side. I don't know what side, what time it is the other side, with the guys in the US from StreamYard.
It's so in the next 5 hours. Tell them it's in the next 5 hours.
In the next 5 hours time.
Yeah, 3+2, 5 hours, yeah.
Cool. And that's pretty much it. I don't know. Anyone, you guys remember the saying and how are we going to end the show? The famous saying?
Netherlands just scored.
We need to work on that. Sorry. Selo, you say it. I'll do the countdown. We end the show. Okay, Selo, what do you want to end off with?
Netherlands.
You're telling us about Netherlands.
Netherlands just scored.
Okay, Netherlands just scored. Well done, Wonga. Okay, you guys ready? 3, 2, 1.
Stop it.
With Ocaptano.